Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We're brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murrah. They will help you to draft a will, put together a last testament or a living trust, medical power of attorney, whatever it is that you need. Schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them that we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We are covering the NFL. We'll go all around the league and the Commanders this segment in the Beltway Blitz, but we start on the diamond. Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post joins us to get things going. How about those Nats? While everyone was paying attention to football in town yesterday, they took back-to-back games from the Mets. The Mets are no longer in sole possession of a playoff spot because of it, and Jacob Young single-handedly was trying to get them eliminated yesterday. Pretty fun scene for Nats fans.
Yeah, the whole thing I kept remarking yesterday was just, I mean, that's the most meaningful baseball that we've seen the Nats play in a long time, and they absolutely stepped up. You mentioned the two circus Jacob Young catches. After the game, you said there's nothing better than quieting 40,000 fans, which I thought was awesome. You look at it, the effort all around. It was Jake Irvin and Mitchell Parker stepping up, guys who have really struggled this year. It was Jorge Alfaro, a backup catcher who hadn't played in baseball in 2 years, stepping up. It was Nassim Nunez, 5'8", 9 homers in the minors, hitting his third this month. It was all these wacky things. It was a $250 million payroll disparity. It was a really cool scene to see out there in Queens.
You mentioned Irvin and Parker. As you said, not good years for either of those guys. Good to see both of them throw really, really well to, as you said, kind of ruin the Mets' day. What's their future for both of those guys? Prognosticate looking forward with Josiah Gray presumably coming back. You add in Cavalli, and you start to look at some of the potentials for that rotation. What is their future for this organization?
Yeah, I think they'll be part of a battle in spring training for the starting rotation. I don't think either of those guys' positions is 100% solidified in the rotation next year, and I don't know with how they perform that it should be. I think Mitchell, again, just because you look at him moving to the bullpen early this year, he may be a little more on the outside looking in. He was floated as a reliever even before he came to the majors back in spring training in 2024. So I think Irvin's probably a little more likely to make the rotation next year, but I don't think either of those guys are 100% in, and I don't necessarily think that either one is 100% out. There should be some interesting battles at spring training next year.
Give Nats fans some storylines to track in this final week of the season.
Yeah, I think some of the biggest ones are obviously external in terms of following the GM search and following things like that. If we're talking purely on the field, I'm really interested to see if James can not break the strikeout record. I believe he's 8 away at this point, and it's looking certainly possible, which I know he does not want to do. Definitely, if he can get a little closer to 30 home runs, that'd be great too. But really, avoiding the strikeouts is probably a top of mind. Mackenzie Gore, anything that he can do on the mound in his final start is obviously potential final two starts is going to be massive. And those are really the two biggest things, as they always should be. I'm curious to see if CJ can also finish the season out a little stronger. It's been a really kind of disappointing second half, but he's had a good past week or so. And I know last year was a bad second half as well. So if he can finish strong, that's definitely something I'm keeping an eye on.
Spencer, appreciate you doing it. Have a great week.
You too.
We'll see you, buddy. Hit that NFL Center, please. Okay, Mike Jones, The Athletic, joins us to talk about the NFL. Mike, I look like a horse's ass most days anyway, just by getting up and going about my day. But I'm telling everybody that'll listen that the Green Bay Packers are the best team in the NFL, and then they do what?
Yeah, you're not alone on that. But I think that we have to remember that Browns defense is really good. I mean, they do have some, in addition to Miles, Garrett, they have some real horses. And they have a lot of versatility and creativity. And obviously, they really gave that offense of the Packers fits. I thought that this was a game that the Packers were going to, pretty convincingly win and, improve to, be one of the few unbeaten teams. But it didn't happen. And it just goes to show you, but man, if they could ever get their quarterback situation figured out there in Cleveland, then they would be pretty tough. But that's the one thing that, ultimately holds them back. But that defense is nasty.
Mike, the Chargers also look nasty. 23-20 winners over the Broncos to get to 3-0. Herbert is playing at an MVP level right up there with anybody, not named Josh Allen maybe. Amarion Hampton has taken over now as their focal point with the injury to Harris. And he had a combined 25 touches yesterday for over 120 yards. And a touchdown. Quentin Johnson no longer looks like a bust. Keenan Allen looks like an awesome decision to bring him back. How about the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, this is some great work that Harbaugh is doing. And the thing with Justin Herbert is he's just playing looser. I mean, we were wondering kind of, we saw promise of him, like, really good as a rookie and saw improvement. But then it was kind of like, when's he going to step to that next level? And this looks like this is it. He's running the ball more. He's, chaining his arm slot. He's just making almost just every throw. Like you said, basically playing better at the quarterback position than a lot of people, just behind maybe Josh Allen. It really, now they've got a win. They've opened the season with three divisional victories. They've got a little bit of a cushion there in that division. Obviously, it's a long season, there's going to be a team in their division, probably Kansas City, that's going to make a little bit of a run. But to start the season off 3-0 against divisional opponents is huge for them as they're trying to finally take it to the next level after just kind of like teasing us a little bit and always falling short.
Tampa's 3-0 now, Mike, but they've led for, I think, 11 seconds combined, a numbers approximate over those three games with their, their cardiac winning ways. Now Mike Evans out with a hamstring. Next four opponents: Eagles at the Seahawks, 49ers at Detroit. So, to me, this is one of those you get credit for coming back and winning, but right, that was probably the easier part of their schedule, kind of knowing what we know now. What do you make of them at 3-0?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, give them a lot of credit because they've got starters. They've been without starters. Their offensive line has still not had all their horses yet. Their wide receiver core has been limited. And now they've got another one. They've just not been at full force, but yet they've still found a way to win games. I think that Todd Bowles really knows how to push the right buttons, pull the right levers, position them. Baker Mayfield, his leadership and playmaking ability deserves a lot. But, yeah, it's going to be tough this next stretch that they're about to go on because they're so limited, and it's going to be a little while. But it just goes to show that Jason Light, one of the best GMs, why people respect him so much around the league, because they've got a lot of depth. They draft so well and have young guys that can step into key positions while their starters are injured, and they've been able to pull out some of these wins. But it's definitely going to be kind of a truth teller stretch coming up right here.
Mike, the Falcons were awful yesterday. They got beat 30-0 by the Panthers, who probably are going to win like six games. And in Carolina, they benched Michael Penix, who had just a dreadful game. So two parts here. One, what do you make of Atlanta right now? And then two, at the quarterback spot, I don't think they should bench Penix and go to Cousins at this point, obviously. But Penix has not been good. And they do pay Cousins $40 million a year or whatever. And before his injury last year, he was actually cooking okay at a 500-yard game and a win against Atlanta. Like, how long do you leash? Do you keep this leash for Penix when you've got a potentially very capable guy if Cousins is healthy waiting behind him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that you pull the plug. I agree with you. You don't pull the plug, you know, just yet for him. But you do have Cousins there for a reason. They were not totally sure about Penix's, you know, durability, but then also just, you know, performance level. They know that there might be some hiccups there, and they need to start winning games. And so that's why they kept him, you know, with, as far as Cousins goes. Yesterday was just unbelievable just how bad he looked, how bad they looked as a whole against the team that is not very strong, but they've got a tough stretch coming up here. You know, it's Washington. Then they've got the Bills, the 49ers, who they're banged up as well. And then, you know, you've got the Falcons, which that's, you know, a winnable game right there. I think, though, that, you know, you see how Penix does. And if you come out of that stretch there where you are just not getting things done offensively, you go back to Cousins. It's a young guy. It's a process. And so he's got to take his lumps. But at the same time, there's a lot of pressure on Raheem Morris and them to finally start winning some games.
Give me a read on that Steelers-Patriots game. Pittsburgh scored in their first couple of drives, and it felt like they went 3 hours almost in real time without finally scoring again, and they do to win that one 21-14. Disappointing loss for the Patriots there, I'd say. And for the Steelers, you know, again, it feels like the Steelers. Unexciting, but here they are, 2-1.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that's most disappointing about the Patriots is that this was supposed to be Mike Vrabel is going to come in and run this thing more like a professional operation with more discipline than, you know, what they had last year, you know, at head coach. And basically they have more penalties. They have ball security issues, and they are, you know, still not performing like a really disciplined operation. I thought there was still going to be some times that they were going to come up short, but I thought that they were just going to look better in the process, and that's not been the case. You know, it is a tough defense that the Steelers have there, and, you know, so that's part of the reason for their struggles. But, yeah, I expected better, but it is a process. As far as the Steelers go, yeah, I feel like this is just going to be another year where they're like 10-6, you know, or sorry, what are we now, 10-7, you know, or, you know, right around there. And they're enough to be interesting. And then they'll get to the playoffs and, you know, against a good team, they're probably going to fall short. But they're okay, I guess, like hoping on a prayer that maybe they can catch somebody at the right time. We're going to see games where Aaron Rodgers looks amazing. We're going to see games where he's really going to struggle and look like he's 42 years old. You know, and it's just, you know, they have a lot of inconsistencies and kind of some holes on that roster still. And that's why they're not ever going to be elite. And, you know, it's going to be another kind of similar ending to their story, just different tune.
Mike Jones of The Athletic. Thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
All right. See you guys.
By the way, 4 lost fumbles by the Patriots yesterday. 2 from Ramondre Stevenson, 1 from old friend Antonio Gibson, and then 1 from Drake May, a sack fumble where he was too careless with the ball in the pocket. But 4 lost fumbles.
That'll kill you.
In a one possession game, that is why they lost. All right, let's keep it moving. Mitch Tischler of Monumental Sports is with us on G&D. Mitch, let's start with the O-line. I know you track those guys pretty closely. 2 changes at the guard positions yesterday, and they run for 200 yards. Mariota helps by getting the ball out quickly, but I thought they did a good job protecting him as well. Dan Quinn had to like what he see.
Absolutely have to like what you see. The Andrew Wiley move, I think, was coming, was expected. I was surprised he wasn't the starting right guard coming out of camp, but I do think they wanted to make sure that Josh Connerly was going to be okay over there at tackle before they moved him inside. The other side was surprising. I was surprised to see Chris Paul there, but, you know, I will say that you look at this front office and this coaching staff who have jettisoned a ton of players that they didn't bring in, and it's noteworthy that Chris Paul has stuck around mostly on the mostly inactive but on the roster since he's been there. They've liked what they've seen out of him, so it was good to see him get a little bit of a shine and go out there and play well.
They stopped the run really well. In fact, they've done that most of the year. You know, some of it happens later, of course, with some of the injuries in the secondary, but even before then, you know, a couple of wide open guys here and there, some third and longs converted. Feels like pass coverage might kind of be their Achilles heel at this point, especially now with some of the injuries, Mitch.
Yeah, those injuries are starting to pile up. Bringing in Darnell Savage is going to be you know, just another guy. I think to help out that that secondary, it's going to be incumbent on that front four to continue to get after the quarterback. And this front four has done a better job than I think folks thought they would do coming into the season. And Dorrance Armstrong has been an absolute beast. I think via PFF, he has the most pressures in the NFL and the highest pressure rate of any one individual defender there. So it's been impressive watching him go out there and play well. I think that's what everyone thought he was going to bring last year, and he's finally come to the field with it this year.
Jaden Daniels, do you think he plays against the Falcons?
Purely speculation, I don't think he does. I think when Dan Quinn spoke, about a half hour ago or so, he said they weren't quite sure what the plan was, the return to practice plan was, or they were still working on it. To me, I think that was kind of indicative of probably where they are with him. It certainly also helps to have Marcus Mariota go out and play as well as he did on Sunday, so you don't feel forced to rush Jaden back. But it's going to be a fun little stretch for Marcus here if he has the Raiders today or this weekend, and then he goes to Atlanta, gets to play two former teams of his. He gets a little bit of the Marcus Mariota revenge tour.
Too bad the Titans aren't on the schedule the week after.
That would have been funny.
Mitch, years ago when I was playing high school basketball, a buddy of mine who was a great shooter, we'd do these shooting contests after practice, right? And like it'd be competitive, and then he would make this motion. He would look at me, wait for me to get eye contact, and then he'd pretend to flip a switch. And then he never missed after he flipped a switch. I feel like Dorrance Armstrong flipped a switch 3/4 of the way through the season last year into the playoffs, and he hasn't turned it off. What's going right?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think he got – I don't know what happened at the beginning of last season where he was not quite as effective as you hoped he would be. But certainly this offseason, bringing in Von Miller and a lot of the things that Von has done, and not that Von gets credit for Dorrance Armstrong's success. I'm not going there. However, you do see those two working together. Von is so good at getting around that edge, lowering the shoulder, getting close to the ground, and using that speed. And you're starting to see Dorrance use some of those kind of speed techniques that Von has. And I wonder how much, you know, having a guy with that kind of pass rushing experience has helped him out. But let's be clear, Dorrance Armstrong has been very, very good in the past. He's also been very, very good against the run. And to me, that's almost more important. We saw this Commanders defensive line get ripped to shreds last year against the run, particularly on the outsides. And to see Dorrance step up and set the edge the way that he is and be physical, not just use his speed and his athleticism, but his physicality as well, has been very, very impressive to watch.
Was that a Mitch Tischler, Obama, let me be clear? Let me be clear.
Let me be clear.
There you go.
Oh, it's pretty good.
That's not bad at all.
Not bad.
Mitch, good having you on, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
Appreciate Check him you. Out. Monumental Sports. Mitch Tischler, that is your Beltway Blitz. Jalen Lane, who ripped off a 90-yard punt return for a touchdown. First one for the Commanders since 2016. He's going to join us on the show next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And Lane is going to go back inside the 10. Here comes a flag drop right away. And Jalen Lane gets past Cole, the punter. He's going to go all the way for a touchdown.
Chris Myers, a little better, please. A little more energy.
It's our first one of those in like 10 years,
A little more excitement.
I've been waiting
9 years and 10 football seasons for that. Give me something. So I'm sorry we're bothering you.
Broke free and no one's going to get him.
I'm sorry you had to call the play. Jesus, dude. Give me a break. I thought we were done with the Chris Myers extravaganza.
No, you're never totally free.
When you get to the NFC Championship game, you shouldn't have to deal with the Myers-Schlereth tandem on a Sunday. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. That was Jalen Lane's music. 90-yard punt return for a touchdown. Hashtag he a hokey. And he is joining us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. By the way, big show announcement in 1 hour today at 5:25. We're finally ready to make our big show announcement. So make sure you're listening in an hour. But we got business to tend to. Let's talk to Jalen Lane. Jalen, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
We're great,
We're doing better than that call was of your punt return touchdown. That was a hell of a play. You wouldn't have known it by the call, but it was a really impressive, amazing, high-energy play. You wouldn't have known it based on what Chris Myers did. But what did you think as the ball's coming down? Is it space? I mean, did he outkick his coverage? Like, it seemed like you had some real estate. Take us through it. What were you thinking?
Yeah, man, I knew the call we had. I knew we had a vice on the gunners, so I was like, I wasn't worried about them getting down. I was just seeing what kind of kick it was, what kind of hang. And you know, he's a good punter, so when he kicks it good, he's going to outkick his coverage. And, you know, I felt like I had space. And then if you just look at it, man, I just had to make one guy miss. Everybody else was blocked up. So, you know, sure, I get the credit on the stat sheet, but my punt return team, they put in work for sure.
How soon after you catch that ball and you're matriculating up the field as you're talking about, how soon after that do you know, dude, I'm going to score? Like, what at what point in the run are you like, this is a touchdown? Like, when did you know?
It was right after I kind of got through that first little hole, and then I saw it was open field and then the punter. I was like, oh, this is six. So I just made sure I just outrun it. I was like, I got to hit the Jets if I get caught. Now, I'm not going to hear the end of it from anybody. So,
what about the punter, though? What was your level of confidence? Because
he made a good effort, honestly.
It was closer than I thought to him actually tackling you when I went back and watched it. How sure were you that he was not going to prevent you from your first touchdown?
I mean, you know, I'm very confident in my abilities. And, like, no offense to any punter anywhere. I love Tress Way. I love – but, you know, we get paid to make people miss. And, you know, that's the last – one of the last people you want to let tackle you, especially on a big play like that. So you got to make it happen.
I'm just texting Tress real quick. You said punters are not really football
no,
players.
You can't see
Tress.
Me.
That's what I preface. Yeah. I said I love Tress.
What is the – you said a vice on the gunners. Like, what is that technique? What does that mean? You're just running them?
We got the gunners doubled up. You know, we don't call it every play. It's just – it was one of those instances – we're trying to get a good return, get those kind of just take the gunners out of the equation, essentially.
So the opposite of that, I would imagine, then is like isolation, man, like one on one with a gunner, and then you have more guys to try to block the punt.
Yeah, pretty much. We got a bunch of different schemes, but just in that situation, even one on one in my other returns, Noah and Ham, them boys, they did a great job one-on-one too. So, shout out to them.
Jalen Lane Jalen Lane with us here on Grant and Danny. It seems to be you guys on teams are really taking advantage in terms of returns. Obviously, your ability is evident. It's obvious how quick you are in the burst, getting upfield, et cetera. But both in terms of coverage and of returns, it feels like you guys are a little bit ahead of your opponents right now in terms of that. A, is that the feeling that you have? And B, where does that come from?
I think it just comes from just our standards that we set from ourselves way back in OTAs. The first meeting that I ever had with Coach Izzo was yelling fast and physical. That's what we're going to be. We're going to be a violent unit on all phases of the game. And, yeah, even back from week one to Green Bay and to now, you see big returns, you see big plays on punt and kickoff, things like that. And, you know, that's just kind of the standard we have for our team. And we know if we win that phase of the game, that's going to help us, get the win ultimately.
So I'm going somewhere with this, but I want to make this open-ended, and then I'll come back to kind of my point. What is your philosophy as a punt returner when you're returning a punt?
One, get the ball back for the offense. That's the number one goal when I'm back there. You know, whatever happens, if a bad kick, whatever, as long as we get the ball back, my job is successful. But, you know, the cherry on top is, you know, getting a first down or any 10-plus, that's cherry on top. And then the cake is, you know, housing it and, you know, making a big play like that. So that's kind of like my mindset when I'm going back.
Well, the reason I ask is because, to me, a great punt returner, and it's easier said than done because there's always different things going on in front of you, but it's the up-the-field, no-wasted movement, no, like, jab step, sideways stuff. I don't remember a punt returner here in a long time who catches the ball and immediately runs forward. And you seem to do that every single time. There's almost never lateral steps or sideways movement. I mean, is that just kind of the design and how it's worked out? Or is that like a paradigm thing for you that's your philosophy?
I mean, yeah, I've always kind of had that philosophy. You know, I don't want to do too much side-to-side movement because in this league, man, everybody's fast. Everybody's athletic. You go east and west, and they're going to end up making a play. So just try to put pressure on them. But also, it's kind of just the faith I have in the unit. Like, them boys, like I got to give them all the credit because, you know, they're the ones, you know, rushing the line and blocking them and holding up the gunners so I can have the confidence back there to know I got space and know that, I can get vertical.
So I've got another logistical kind of return question, and I'm going somewhere with this. Jalen, did you play hoops at all growing up?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I didn't play my senior year, but I played from a kid all the way through high school pretty much.
Were you good?
I was pretty good. I mean,
what was your career high in points? Challenged. Let's guess what his career high in points in a game was.
He had a 38-point game once. That's Jalen Lane.
I'm going to say he scored 29 in a game.
Oh, that was both close. It was actually my best game. I remember this so vividly. Eighth grade, I hit like 4 threes. I ended up having like 33 points.
Ooh, Danny was on it.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's why I asked. There was one return where it looked like your blocker was on to your left. Okay, so he's on the defender's right side. And it looked like, so that's the side he's on. And it's almost like one of those screens where the defender's leaning so hard that you turn down the screen and went by him to the right. How much of that is instinct, I'm quicker, this guy's leaning, or how much of that is this is where the play or the return is designed to go?
I think that was mostly just kind of instinct. Mm-hmm. And like that punt, it was a little shorter and didn't have much hang, so I had to run up and get it. And my momentum was kind of taking me there. And, you know, I didn't think it was a flag on Noah on that play. But, you know, you can't control the refs. But honestly, looking at the film, if I go inside of Noah, then they don't throw that flag. And, you know, we get a 25-yard return right there. But, you know, there's stuff to learn from.
Jalen Lane, first punt return touchdown for the Commanders since 2016. If you're looking for a 90-plus yarder, you got to go way back before that. How old were you in 2016?
2016. Hey, what grade was I in? How old am I now? I was around 13, 14, something like that.
Okay, oh, my God. You're in middle school the last time somebody returned a punt for a touchdown for the Commanders. Hey, when did this start? This is kind of a philosophy thing, too. So I'm old enough to remember you put your heels on the 10-yard line, and if the ball goes over your head, you're not allowed to go back in there to field it. And now there are dudes fielding the ball at the 4, at the 3, college, NFL, and it doesn't seem like coaches are upset. Like, I know punters have gotten better, and maybe that's part of it, but what are the new rules now, and when did it change?
Well, it's still definitely – for us, we do heels on the 8 and don't back up, but it's just certain situations. You know, if – they're like obviously like on the 40 or 50 yard line and they're in like a poop situation, then you're probably not going to get a return because they're going to be down there pretty quick. But in that situation, they were, I don't know what yard line they were on, but he just got a good kick. And, you know, if you got space, you know, you for sure, you feel like you can get past the 20, you know, you might as well help with field position.
But I'm sure you see this, like, watching the NFL every weekend, there's dudes that are, like, backpedaling to the 4 and catching balls. Or I saw one yesterday where a guy, like, was back to the punter, like, tracking it like a center fielder running toward the fence. And he fields a ball at the 2 and it, like, carries him into the end zone. You're like, what in the hell are you thinking? Like, whatever happened to heels on this yard line and don't go backwards? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I just think, you know, field position just plays a big part in today's game. And, you know, you got confident guys back there who feel like, you know, they can make a play no matter where they're at. And I just feel like that's kind of – I see what you're saying. I feel like it's been a trend definitely over the past couple of years.
Jalen, how comfortable do you feel as a receiver in this league just yet? And where do you think, you know, your journey is going to take you in that regard?
Yeah, I definitely feel comfortable. I'm definitely just I'm just trying to grow each and every day. You know, I feel like I'm in a great room with Terry, Devo, Noah, Chris Moore, guys who've been in the league for a really long time and been doing it at a high level. So, you know, I'm just, like I said, every day I'm just trying to grow. Just take coaching points. And Coach Ingram, he's been doing a great job as well, just, you know, helping all the young guys.
You had a chance yesterday, your first touchdown catch, kind of a back shoulder ball, looked like maybe could have made a play on it, would have been tough. But take us through that play. What'd you see?
Yeah, it was a double candidate. We tried to get them off sides, and they did jump, but I don't think they crossed the neutral zone. But, you know,
should have been called, by the way. Great,
yeah. You know, Marcus, he gave me a great ball, and, you know, at the end of the day, I got to come down with it. And, you know, we talked about it in film earlier today, but, you know, that's stuff that I'm, you know, my mindset, like the rest of the game, I'm trying to, like, make up for that. You know, I flush it in the moment because you don't want that to mess you up. I'm like, man, I got to make up. And it happened to be on punt return that I made up for it, but, you know, that's just kind of my mindset going into it. And, you know, next time I'm going to make that play. And that's how I'm just approaching that.
Well, the day was a net win. You more than made up for it with a 90-yard punt return.
Yeah, what a moment.
Jalen Lane of the Commanders, kind enough to give us a few minutes on Grant and Danny. Hey, before we let you go, any truth to the rumor? So the guy that answered the call when you called in, Toby Altizer, we call him Hokie Altizer. He works on the Virginia Tech Network. He's been singing in your praises since they drafted you and screaming about you. So is there any chance to the rumor that Hokie Altizer actually was involved in some way behind the scenes in the big touchdown that took place yesterday, and does he get any credit for what happened?
I'm not going to lie, I have no clue. If you've been if you've been out there, you know, speaking it into existence, I appreciate you.
There you go.
Keep doing it.
That's Hokie's music.
That is Hokie's music.
I mean, Hokie was saying every week that this was the week you were about to rip a punt return touchdown, and it took week three, and Hokie was, you should have seen him today, walking around like Vince
McMahon.
Like
he did it. You know what I mean?
He walked in with his Jalen Lane jersey on, telling everyone, what did I tell you? He was doing celebration dances in the end zone.
Yeah, tell him to speak that to existence this week too.
We'll tell him to keep chirping. Jalen, thank you. We appreciate you.
Way to go, buddy. Congrats.
Thank y'all.
All right, there you go. We're gonna put him on hold so Hokie can tell him just how good at football he is. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you to Jalen Lane. That was very cool.
Fantastic. Nice. Again, what a huge difference making play that was.
Oh. They had just started to kind of calm their Jets a little bit. Mm-hmm. The momentum was going away. The Raiders were starting to move the football against a banged-up defense.
Turned into a three-score game right there.
And boom goes the dynamite. Just like that, 90 yards on a punt return. The return units for this team right now are just on another level.
They are humming, dude.
Kick return, punt return, Debo and Lane. What do we got to do to get Jalen Lane on a kick return? Get him in there for Luke every now and then with Debo.
To me, I know it's not the same, but it's similar. You know what I mean? Like,
give it a shot.
Kick goes a long distance. You got some space to run, you know, set up blockers and move quickly. It seems like something he could probably do pretty well.
So I know it's only 4:40, okay? It's only 4:40.
4:40.
We have 20 minutes until 5, but it's 4:40 right now.
Mm-hmm.
At 5 o'clock, Jay Gruden, and then at 5:25, a gigantic announcement. A really, really... Darius, do you have a drum roll, please? I'm going to give you a hint about the massive 5:25 announcement coming up on the show at 5:25 today. That's when the 5:25 announcement happens. The people will be steamed up. The people, they're going to be steamed up about this.
Mm-hmm.
We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As on the football field, Mariota just running it.
And here throwing it because he wants to close the game out, but instead McCaffrey will take it into the end zone. He didn't necessarily have to seal it, but when you have that chance, you don't want to pass it up.
Jay Gruden joins us in about 12 minutes. I want to see what he thought about what I perceived to be a masterpiece from Cliff Kingsbury against the Raiders yesterday, as he schemed them up and Washington's offense sliced and diced Patrick Graham's defense. Marcus Mariota's got to be the story, though. As much as because of last year's two games, Danny, like we can't say that it was completely unexpected that he played well, you can't have the story all week being, oh no, what if Jaden Daniels can't go?
Uh-huh.
Oh no, is this team screwed? What if Daniels is unable to play? What if he has to miss two games? Does your whole season get derailed? Like, that was the rhetoric from a lot of people. This notion that Jaden Daniels is a one-man band, he's a one-man wrecking crew, and that was the discourse for most of last year, honestly. Like, that they have a 12-win quarterback and a 6-win team. Yet, when Mariota played against Carolina, they scored 40. When he came in when they were down against the Cowboys, it leads them back to a win. And then in this game, they put up 41 points and 400 yards and 7.5 per play against the Raiders. But he's been just so efficient. That's what it is. It reminds me of like the good stuff when he was in Tennessee. When you'd look after their games and you'd see this happened a lot. It would be like 15 of 17 passing for like 188 and two touchdowns. And then you go back and you're like, oh, this is really well schemed. And like, I don't know if this guy's going to be a great championship level starter, but damn, this works. And he's running some read option. I mean, 40 rushing yards and what would have been a 19 of 21 game if there were no drops. What else can you ask of a quarterback, let alone a backup? And I know the Raiders' defense is not very good. I get that. But it's not like they haven't played better than that in their other two games.
Yeah.
A quote-unquote bad defense looked worse. Short week, cross-country, a lot going for you. But you still got to go out and do it, and they did.
Precisely. I mean, to me, this started with Kingsbury, the run game. I know it's going to look like the running totals were a lot better than they were because McNichols rips off that 60-yarder when everybody stopped, and he deserves credit for that. But other than that, it was more workmanlike, where Rodriguez 11 for 39, and you kind of go down the list. I think Kroski Merritt averaged less than 4 yards per carry on his, but still it was doing enough, making people respect every part of it, effective enough to now the next look off the first look, which is off the second look, which is off the third look. And next thing you know, everybody's flat-footed, and you're able to find some of those not necessarily shot plays, although two of those happened for big games. Should have been two touchdowns, one to McLaurin and then one to McCaffrey.
Yeah, 43 and 56 yards.
Right. Where,
so that but was 99 on those two plays.
Yeah, to me, everything else, though, is you're looking over there, I went right there. You're looking over there again, I caught you, I'm going here. It is the execution of the game plan, the working in tandem and symmetry, knowing what the weaknesses were and exploiting them. So the Raiders are, you know, they're covering their eye, they get hit in the gut. They're covering their gut, they get hit in the nose. I mean, just this constant push and pull. I thought Kingsbury was masterful, and Mariota deserves a ton of credit for not trying to overdo it. The one time he does, cuts back on that long scramble, not a scramble, the design run, ends up fumbling. That's the only quote-unquote mistake. All you have to do is not do too much when you've got the advantage like they did yesterday.
Is there a plan, you think? Is there a mindset? Here's how they came out yesterday. Debo rips off the 69-yard kick return, so they start the game. They bring their offense out. First and 10 from the 27 in the huddle. They come out in the gun with Trent Scott reporting as eligible. So you've got three tackles, a tackle as a tight end, and you've got Rodriguez going off the right side behind right guard where Wiley's now playing for 5 yards. second and five from the 22. You're already in the red zone with 2 yards. Chris Rodriguez off the left end. This is behind, among others, you know, your tight ends that you're tapping into now, Sinnott and Yankoff. But he goes around the left end to the 8-yard line of Las Vegas for 14 yards. So you're two plays in, you've got 19 rushing yards, and it's first and goal from the 8. Rodriguez for 4, second and goal from the 4. Rodriguez a fourth straight run. They finally bow up a little bit. They bring their safety, Jeremy Chinn, former Commander, all the way down into the box to stop the run. Third and goal from the 2, and that's the first pass play they call. They go no huddle, tempo, spread, shotgun, Mariota snap, and then he immediately scrambled ahead for 2 yards. Uber decisive. Ball hits his hands. He kind of looks for a second, pulls the ball down, runs for the touchdown. So it was 5 straight runs, 4 called runs to Rodriguez and a pass play turned scramble, and a touchdown, 5 plays for 27 yards. And just like that, you're up 7-0 before anybody's broken a sweat. I mean, it was 3 minutes into the game because of the huge kick return and the quick drive. No Jaden Daniels. We don't even have enough time to worry about the offense with 2 new offensive linemen and a quarterback. You're already up 7-0.
You're not even back from your pregame hot dog yet. You're still waiting in line for your Coca-Cola Classic, and you're already up 7-0 playing some defense. Yeah, it's the I think you put it very well, just that first touchdown that he scrambled for, if you're going to call it a scramble. This was a, I recognize what's going to be available here very, very quickly, if that makes sense. Like, I think they sent out a number of receivers on the route. As you said, they went tempo, and as soon as there's a, you know, kind of the Red Sea's parting, I don't have to sit there and pat the football and make one of those Kyler Murray scramble around for 19 seconds, maybe get in, maybe I don't. It's the instant I get one or two options covered, based on the look, it probably means I've got openings. Like, right. He went right away, and you knew he was going to score.
Nikki Javala just tweeted this about the return game, which we've been talking about today, but she has a bunch of pretty good stats here. Washington field position after punts, own 35-yard line, third. I think that speaks to Lane as a punt returner for sure, but it also speaks to their defense getting off the field fairly quickly sometimes so that the punt is coming from, you know, not the plus side of the field, not around the 50, right? So 35-yard line, third best in the NFL, starting field position post-punt. Tressways landed 58% of his punts inside the 20 and 33% inside the 10, which is top 5 in the NFL in both categories. Second in the NFL, putting punts inside the 10-yard line. Washington's yards per punt return, so that's Jalen Lane, third in the NFL right now, 17.7. Opponent average field position after punts, their own 17, number 2 in the NFL. Washington field position after kickoffs, so this is Deebo Samuel, 36.4 yard line, number 1 in the NFL. Washington yards per kick return, Deebo and Luke, 34.1, that's first in the NFL. Opponent average field position after kickoffs, it's your coverage unit, their own 29 yard line, 10th in the NFL. So, I mean, this is right now one of the best special team units in the league, and it's not particularly close. I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah, the only hiccup, black mark, whatever you want to call it, is the old missing of field goals. A lot of those are happening.
For sure.
Other than that, .. that's the thing that people notice the most. I'm telling you, the returns and coverage units have been splendid.
Football coverage on the Fans presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games all season long, kicking off with a juicy Week 4 matchup between the Commanders and the Falcons Sunday at 1. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. We've got Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt on the call this weekend of an NFC tilt on CBS between the Commanders and the Falcons, so sign me up for that. Jay Gruden joins the show next right at 5 as soon as we return, and remember at 5:25, a big show announcement. In fact, Darius, if you've got a drum roll, please, I want to tease with a hint what the big show announcement is.
Ooh, do you have a good hint?
Yes.
Okay.
If you have a drum roll,
if you have,
go ahead and play it whenever you can. Yeah. Or don't. Yeah. Either way. You guys are going to like it.
Mm.
You guys are going to Brooks
Look Lycan. At that B.
Jay Gruden next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.